Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I say every week, I'll remind you again that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, all you need to do is write to us. The CDs are absolutely free. Whenever you write to us, be sure you include the date of the program that you would desire a copy of, and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we gather around the radio today, Lord, and thank you for that privilege. Thank you for the radio station. Thank you for the recording equipment that you have given us here at the Claysburg Bible Church. And all the provisions, Lord, the opportunities to be able to get your word out. Father, we ask your blessing on the message today as we continue our journey through the book of Revelation. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to have wisdom and insight into your word and discernment to rightly divide the word of truth. And so, Father, we'll commit this study to you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Let me say this before we get started. I want to thank you folks. We have gotten some letters. Letters of encouragement. And so I greatly appreciate that. You have no idea. You know, when one letter comes in, and I'm not saying this for anybody to write to us, but I'm just saying when one letter comes in, that's an encouragement to us. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for those that write and ask for the CDs. And it is our privilege to be able to serve the people, God's people, with the truth of the scriptures. And so we're delighted whenever somebody contacts us. And as I said, we've gotten some letters that are just letters of encouragement. And so that means a lot to the pastor. You got to understand that. To me, it means a lot. And so I appreciate all of you, all of our listeners, so very much. Look forward to someday we will all be gathered around the throne in God's presence, and we look forward to that. Okay, today we're back to the book of Revelation, so you can open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. We're talking about the scroll and the Lamb, and this is part 4 of the scroll and the Lamb. And so I want to get you back to this if I could today. Chapter 5 is a chapter that has proved to be one of the most interesting chapters in the Bible. So far, we have looked at three major points in our study of chapter 5. We've looked at the scroll. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." I don't want to go too far into it, but I'll just refresh your mind on this, that scroll is the title deed to the earth. And within the scroll are recorded the judgments that God will use as he pours them out on the earth in order to cleanse the earth and in order to return it to the original owner, who is Jesus Christ and creator. And he will then set up his kingdom and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And we'll get to that in Revelation 20, but we've got a long way to go before we get there. And if the Lord tarries, we'll get there. And if he doesn't tarry, if he comes back, then you got a better teacher than me that'll instruct us in all of this. And but for now, we're going to stick with our study. So we look at the scroll, that scroll of chapter 5, verse 1. Then we looked at the search. That was in 2 through 4. I'll read it for you. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open a book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." John was deeply saddened because there was no man in heaven, no man on earth, no man under the earth that was even able to look upon the scroll, let alone open it. And this broke John's heart, for he knew how significant it was to find a man to open a scroll. If there was no one able, no one willing, then the earth would be forever doomed under the curse. This would mean that sickness, disease, death, and sin would continue forever. It would mean that Satan would forever be the god of this world, and that's what he longs to do, to rule this world forever. John knew the entire creation was waiting for the day when the curse would be lifted. In Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, we read some interesting verses. Paul wrote this, "For the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who was subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So creation is looking for that. And so you have all this groaning and this travailing and the creation trying to shake the curse free. And every spring you see that, for in every spring there is a brand new creation, so to speak, a new blooming of things. And creation brings forth this brand new life only to face the autumn, to face the fall, when it all dies off again. But every year it's persistent in attempting to shake that curse off. And there's coming a day when that curse will be gone, and the world will go back to the way that it was before sin entered into the world, back to the way that it was in the Garden of Eden. And what a day that'll be. What a time that'll be in that kingdom whenever the earth is returned back to what it used to be. But we're not there yet. But this here, if there was nobody found that was able to open the scroll or to look on a scroll, if there was nobody that was able to do that, then that meant that the earth would stay the way it is, under the same ruler, under the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, and the curse would never be lifted. So you understand the sadness of John in verse 4, whenever he says, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." John said, it broke my heart, because if there's nobody worthy, if nobody can get that title deed open back up, then this isn't going to happen. And that brings us to point number 3, the Lamb. And in verse 5, we read this. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." There was one, there is one that is able to and that has prevailed to open a scroll. He's willing, he is able to do both. Chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and of the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." When John looked, he saw a lamb, not a lion, but he saw a lamb that was standing. This is what we looked at last week. The lamb is Jesus. We see him here in this text, and he's no longer sitting as he is today. Today he sits as our great high priest interceding for us. But in this scene, which is in heaven, he now moves from his seated position to his position as the one who will judge the earth. The age of grace is over. There's no longer a need for him to intercede for us, because we will be in his presence. He's seen as the Lamb, because as the Lamb he has paid the price of redemption for man and for the earth. This is a picture of the grace and the mercy before judgment. God always gives a warning before judgment falls, always. You search the scriptures. Before the flood of Noah's day came, there was a warning. Before the 10 plagues upon Egypt, there was a warning. Before the Babylonian captivity, there was a warning. Before the Assyrian captivity, there was a warning. There is always a warning before there is a judgment. Today in our world, there is a warning that there is a time coming that is far worse than what we're seeing going on in our world today. The lamb that John sees here in Revelation chapter 5 has the appearance as though he had been slain. This tells us that Jesus will carry with him, the only man-made thing in heaven forever, and that'll be the scars from the nails and from the spear in his side. This will forever be a reminder of a sacrifice for our sins. That sacrifice will never, ever be forgotten. This brings us to where we are in our study today. Now it's the event. Watch chapter 5, verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Stop right there. There have been many significant events that have taken place over the history of the world. Many. The event that takes place here is second only to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a pivotal event. This event that is about to take place is Jesus takes the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. This will change the world forever. Age upon age has seen death, sickness, murder, disease, heartbreak, broken families, all of which are the result of sin. Justice has been waiting in the shadows as the bones of men and women and children of the unborn have piled up. Now justice is about to come out of the shadows. That's what's taking place here. This marks the end of God's long suffering. It marks the end of it. It marks the end of the withholding of the wrath of God upon mankind. It marks the end of it. When Jesus takes the book, the scroll, out of the right hand of the Father, this is going to start a series of events that is going to change the world forever. It'll never go back to the way that it was in the days in which we live in today. It'll never go back to that. It's the end of God's long suffering. It will mark the beginning of the wrath of God being poured out upon an unsaved world. 2 Peter 3:7-9 says this, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Listen, that long-suffering is about to come to an end. Whenever you come to chapter 5, verse 7, it's about to come to an end. The kingdoms of this world are about to become the kingdoms of our Lord. Revelation 11:15-18, it says this, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and nations, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in a time of the dead that should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Back to that verse 15 of Revelation 11 again. It says this, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This event is going to change everything. Psalm 2:7-9 says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." That's what's about to take place. Now, while this scroll is changing hands in heaven, down on earth, there's no awareness of what is about to unfold. When the first seal is opened, the tribulation will begin, and the world has no idea. They have no idea. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3 says this, "But at times and at seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Both Paul and Peter tell us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which means it will come unexpectedly upon those who are left behind following the rapture. It'll come and it's going to catch them completely off guard. Completely off guard. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 5 again says, they shall say peace and safety. Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We'll talk about why they're crying out for peace and safety, why they believe it has arrived, whenever we get deeper into the book of Revelation. But the whole point is this. The world is being deceived. The world is being deceived. The world is completely in the dark as far as understanding what is about to come. The world will be in the dark as it goes into the tribulation period. It'll be in the dark. Literally in the dark as it goes, the tribulation period goes along. I want to come to point number 5 now. That's the prayers. Watch chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. This verse is very interesting. It is very interesting. I want to take some time and I want to focus upon the golden bowls, which are filled with the prayers of the saints. Last week, I'd made a quick mention of this verse and pointed out that these are the prayers of the saints and that the prayers of the unbelievers are not heard by God. But let me just back that up with a few verses, if I could. Isaiah 59:2-3 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So God does not hear the prayers of the unsaved. They go no higher than the ceiling of the room which they are in. But the prayers of his people that are walking in fellowship with him, he hears. Let me get you back to these prayers of the saints here in verse 8. You may not realize this, but the prayers that we offer up in the will of God are sweet-smelling incense in the throne room of heaven. When you and I pray today and we pray in the will of God, that creates a sweet-smelling incense in the throne room of heaven. Psalm 141:1-2 says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayers be set forth upon thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands is the evening sacrifice. Revelation 8:3-4 says this, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So our prayers, listen, our prayers become an incense in the presence of God in the throne room of heaven. And let me get you back to the verse. Watch verse 8 again. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. These are the prayers of the saints starting back in the days of Noah and going through today. Some prayers which have not been answered for thousands of years are here. Prayers that have been prayed that have not been answered for thousands of years, they are here. They are here. And now they are going to be brought out. They have been preserved for all those years, and now they will be released. With that thought, let me also point out that these prayers are directly connected to the judgments which will be poured out in the tribulation. We know this because these prayers have been held for all these years. They are kept just for this time. Just for this time. Remember how the Lord instructed his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, 7 through 10? He said, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen to this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is part of what many refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It is not a prayer to be repeated, but it's an outline to build our prayers upon. And when we build our prayers and we pray for the coming of Christ's kingdom, these prayers are reserved for that very event. They're reserved. So for thousands of years, many believers have thought that their prayers were never heard. They thought they were never heard. But what they don't understand is that really their prayers are being held for this very event. They're going to be released here at this very event. 2 Peter 3, 7 through 8, it says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." God has reserved these prayers for thousands of years. They've been held. As the saints down through the ages have prayed for the judgment of God to fall upon the world, that God would bring in to play his kingdom, that he would bring it about. No evidence that these prayers were ever answered. That's because they were taken and they were stored in these golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints. They're stored there in heaven. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It availeth much. You know, we pray. We walk in fellowship. We pray. We pray, "Lord, work this way, work that way. Lord, bring your kingdom. Might our Lord return." And we pray and we pray and we pray. And sometimes we don't see any answers. And the reason is because those prayers are held. They are held until the time when they can be released and they will be answered. So whenever we pray in the will of God, we can be sure that it'll be answered. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it'll be answered. 1 John 5:14-15, they read like this: "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." They're held. Some of your prayers aren't answered yet, because they're held for the appropriate time. Verse 8 again, it says this: "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." All those prayers that are prayed for the kingdom to come, that are prayed for our Lord to bring judgment upon sin in this world, it's time. It's time here in Revelation 5:8. It's time. And so these prayers are going to be poured out. They're going to be poured out. Let me get you to another point. How about the praise? Watch 9 through 14 now. Watch this. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thou hast made unto us our God, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven or on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. There's one point I want to make concerning the praise for Jesus Christ here. This event is so significant that when Jesus takes the scroll from the hand of the Father, it causes all of heaven to break forth in praise. All of heaven. Whenever we come back next week, we will begin to see how the tribulation will unfold on the earth. In this chapter, we will be able to see how it all begins in heaven. Next week, our focus will take us to the earth. So chapter 5 talks about the beginning of the tribulation in heaven. Chapter 6 is going to transport us back down to the earth, so to speak, so that we can see how it all unfolds there. But I want to get you back to verse 7 as I close it out. That verse is so important. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on a throne. That starts the entire thing. Folks, I want to tell you this. I don't believe we're very far away from that very event taking place. I'm out of time today. I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Please join us again next week. We're going to pick this back up and continue where we left off. But again, I want to remind you that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Include the date that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church. 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church. Might you have a blessed week.